Certainly God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I tell you, as I hear Brother Kevin talk about those birds chirping ever since I've been ill, I've been sitting in my family room early in the morning around 5 o'clock, and I hear those birds chirping too. But just the opposite of Brother Kevin, I don't want them to hush up. I thank God that they're making noise because they're my company first thing in the morning. Amen. Sometimes in the mornings, and here lately it's been around between 1 and 2 o'clock a.m., pain usually wakes me up. And, of course, I can't go back to sleep, so I'm usually up every morning between 1 and 2 o'clock a.m. And I usually turn the television on around 3, and I start watching the news. And then my wife leaves around 4:30, and after she leaves, I have my talk with the Lord from 4:30 to 5, and then at 5 o'clock, me and the birds start fellowshipping. Amen. Hallelujah. So I do thank God for those birds praising the Lord early in the morning, because my girls are still asleep. I don't have anybody to talk to. But the birds out there chirping, I say, y'all just go on with your bad selves. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be here. Amen. It's good to be here, and I just thank God for giving me another opportunity in spite of what I've been through to be here with you all and to share a word from the Lord. For any of you who know me, you know that I just love preaching and teaching God's word. Haven't been able to get around like I used to. This is actually probably my second time driving within the last 6 or 7 weeks. And my daughter, Ronchelle, she's been taking me everywhere I need to go. And in spite of her wanting to go to other churches and fellowship with her friends, she's made the sacrifices for her father and for the Lord. Amen. And so I just want to give honors to her in her absence this morning. And certainly I want to give honor to my lovely wife who isn't here. But, you know, I just love that woman so much, and I thank God for her. Amen. And so for those of you who know the word of prayer, just continue to pray for my wife's strength and her encouragement in the Lord. Amen. And then also we want to honor the Lord God for his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. And Brother Kevin's got me up early, so I don't want to mess up nothing. I want to get to the message at this time. Amen. Hallelujah. And also to my lovely girls that's in the back who sang the Robin song, I thank God for giving them the gift of singing. When I was growing up in the church, I always wanted to sing. And I would get in the choir, and they would push me to the back. Amen. And so I prayed and asked God to give me the gift of singing, but he didn't listen to me. He gave me preaching and teaching instead. So I better stick to the preaching and teaching, let them do the singing. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to call your attention to, let's see, we're going to go to the book of Psalm. And I'm trying to decide which one I want to share with you all, because there's several that I could share. But I believe the Lord wants me to share with you all Psalm 127. Psalm 127. We're going to camp out there for just a little while. And I know some of you are probably saying, I can't see him. I can't see him. Well, I'm going to stand up in just a few minutes, but I got to pace and modify myself. Amen. Psalm 127, and we're gonna read in your hearing just one verse, and that's the first verse. And then there's a few things actually in the first two verses that I believe, a few points that the Lord wants to make, and then we'll be out of your hair. And if you're at Psalm 127, verse 1, say amen. 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 If you're still trying to get there, say, wait a minute. Amen. If you ain't looking, say, go ahead. All right, bless the Lord. Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I want to talk on the subject just for a little while, living life in dependence on the Lord. Living life in dependence on the Lord. Amen. Let us all bow our heads in prayer. Our merciful and gracious Father, how loving and kind thou art. And Father, we just pause for a moment to say thank you for being our God and for being our Savior. And we thank you, God, for just waking us and shaking us early this morning, clothing our right minds and with a reasonable portion of our health and strength. God, we ask for forgiveness of all of our sins. Father, that we may be holy and acceptable in thine sight. O Lord God, our strength and Redeemer who liveth. And then I pray, Father God, that you would give us an open mind and fertile hearts, that your word will penetrate our hearts and take up residence and bring forth fruit in its due season, O God. And then, Father, please remember little old me. I thank you, God, for bringing me here. And I pray now, Father, that you'd use me to your glory, that you would give me miraculous amount of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, supernatural amount of strength and energy, O God, that I may stand and declare unto your people the truth from the word of God. Father, I give you glory now in advance, for I walk by faith and not by sight. I ask it all in the precious and the matchless name of Jesus the Christ, Son of the living God, and all the saints of God with uplifted voices said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Living life in dependence on the Lord. My brothers and sisters, certainly as we travel the highways and the byways, or even as we sit in the living room or the family room of our homes on a daily basis, we can either see out in the communities, or as we travel, or we can see on the television that there are people who are doing what we call building every single day. People are building houses. People are building relationships. People are building self-esteem. People are building all over this world. People are building atomic bombs, nuclear bombs. People are building. People are building cars. People are building bikes. And people are building toys and products and things that they feel we could use on a daily basis. But the one thing that I believe that people are building, that I believe that God is really sad about, and that is house building. House building and city guarding. I believe that here in America, we are failing tremendously. When it comes to house building, many homes, as we can see on the news, as we heard Brother Kevin say, are not building homes with Adam and Eve, but with Adam and Steve, and with Emma and Eve. Can I get a witness in here? There's a lot of that going on in society. And really, my brothers and sisters, it saddens my heart to see these things take place. There are homes where children simply no longer have any respect for their parents whatsoever. They talk back to them. Many of them are fighting them, and some are even taking their parents' lives. But if we were to flip the script just a little bit, we find many parents are abusing children and are even taking their own children's lives. Amen. And so God is displeased with the lives that are being lived. And so we must also realize that when we take a look at our cities, we realize that here in America, we are not protected by the CIA. Will somebody say amen there? It used to be, well, one would think that if you had a job with the Central Intelligence Agency, that you were probably the most protected individual in society. As a matter of fact, if you got to work late and you weren't there by a certain amount of time, they would send out police officers in search of you. But I stop by to tell you that even in working for the Central Intelligence Agency or the FBI or the CSA or the TSA, or the NSA. It doesn't matter, because even their security has been breached. Has anybody been watching the news? Their security has been breached, and so therefore they're scratching their heads trying to figure out how could such a thing happen. And just the other day I was watching Pearl Harbor on cable television, and I've seen that movie probably 9 or 10 times. And each time I watch that movie, when it gets to the part to where a gentleman says to the president and his cabinet, that he sort of has an idea that Japan might possibly attack Pearl Harbor or somewhere around that area, but because they didn't have overwhelming evidence, the idea was overlooked. But I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, they did attack Pearl Harbor, and it was a terrible blow to America. And I'm convinced that just like in 1942, and same thing today, America is under attack because we are not living our lives in dependence on the Lord. And so the Bible teaches us in verse 1 of Psalm 127. It is a psalm which basically deals with stressing how life should be lived in dependence on the Lord. But we must also understand that it is a psalm that deals with house building and city guarding, and the fact that it cannot be successful apart from God's help. We must realize that apart from God helping us, no matter what type of security we have, no matter how many warriors or fighters we have in the military, our country is not safe without the protection from God. And so Psalm 127 verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house. Isn't that what your Bible says? Except the Lord build the house. In other words, what it basically says is, point number one is this. The psalmist says we need a universal dependence on God. It is not just one person that should depend on God, but we need a universal dependence on God. In other words, the psalmist says, except the Lord build the house. The house is literally a house. And a house used here in the original Hebrew language is a universal term, which means every house that is built, except it is built by God, shall not stand. Am I right about it? It shall not stand except it is built by God. So the statement is universal. And no matter who you are, whether you're the governor or the gardener, if you're building your house apart from the help of God, your house is not safe. And so we need a universal dependence on God. Not only does America need to depend on God, but so does Russia and so does China. So does Japan, and so does all the other countries. Africa needs to depend on God. Haiti needs to depend on God. But especially here in America and over in Palestine, we need to depend on God. For it is in Palestine when Jesus came in the flesh, and when he walked the face of this earth, and when he left the responsibility in the hands of his disciples that his word should be preached and taught universally. He said, go ye therefore and teach all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what your Bible teaches in Matthew chapter 28? So therefore, it says, except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. How should the Lord build the house? It can be talking about a physical structure, because in down in Israel, they would build houses, and after they would build houses, they would also build tall walls around the city, thinking that the walls and the physical structures would protect them from the enemy coming and attacking them. And so therefore, that's why the psalmist says, except the Lord build the house. It says they labor in vain that build it, and except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Except the Lord build the city. It can also be referring to the house structure as far as the family. And so we want to focus on family here, as we say that we need a universal dependence on God. Everybody needs to depend on God to raise their children. We cannot raise God-fearing and respectful children apart from the help of God. Somebody may say, well, I don't need God's help. I work hard and I raise my children to be respectful, and I've taught them to treat others with respect, and I've taught them to work hard, and I've taught them to help their fellow man. So I don't need God's help. But I stop by to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that even when children grow up to be respectful and work hard, they're still capable of doing ungodly things. And so we who are born again Christians realize that it is on the inside of our hearts that we have the indwelling Spirit of God that watches over us and rises up in us when we think about doing wrong against God's word. And so we need God's word in order to train up our children in the admonition of the Lord. Not only do we need God's word to train up our children, but we need his word in order to train up our grandchildren. Can I get an amen there? Our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We need God's word in order for adults to love one another. We need God's word in order for marriages in America and in the world to be successful. We need God's word in order for relationships to be that in which God has ordained for it to be. We need marriages to be in such a way to where a man and a woman can come together in holy matrimony and love one another and paint a beautiful picture before their children that this is how a husband ought to love his wife and how a wife ought to love her husband and how children can grow up under the respect of their parents and the fear and reverence of God, that they understand how to start and build a relationship when they get older. But I'm convinced, my brothers and sisters, that many of our young people are confused today because many of them are not raised up in the church, and God forbid, even those who are raised up in a lot of churches still see men come in holding hands and women come in holding hands and are confused about what a relationship ought to look like. And so we, my brothers and sisters, have got to pray fervently for our churches. We got to pray fervently that our churches, as well as the world, would get back to allowing God to help us to build houses. Many churches are being built. Many buildings are being built with the name of God and Christ on the outside. But yet when we come on the inside, it is not a structure that is standing in the face of the adversity that's going on in society today. Am I right about it? As soon as America begins to put pressure on the churches in many places are starting to fold and are starting to crumble. And many Christians are saying, well, everybody else is doing this, the norm. It is not the norm, because the Bible teaches from the beginning, it has always been an abomination to God. Lord have mercy, I done got excited in here, and I'm just convinced that when God's word is rightly divided and when the truth is spoken in confidence and in faith in God, it'll do some things to you on the inside. And so he says, except the Lord build the house. The psalmist wanted Israel to understand that you are building many houses and you're building tall walls, but if you build anything in life apart from the help of the Lord, it's not going to last. And so first of all, we need a universal dependence on God. And secondly, I want you to see still in verse 1. Secondly, I want you to see that all will be in vain unless God helps us. All will be in vain unless we allow God to help us. Look with me still in verse 1. It says, they labor in vain that build it. What the psalmist is saying is, you can get up early and you can go and work long hours. You can build the biggest house with the fanciest structure. It can have elegant lights and the most expensive carpet. It can have purified water. And it can have a Brinks or an ADT alarm system. It can have many guest rooms. It can have many bathrooms. As a matter of fact, you can go out, you can hit the lottery, and you could pay for your house in cash money, or you could get yourself a fancy boat. He says you can build this house and you can labor in it and you can get it looking pretty and fancy, or you could have 10 children and the Lord could bless the fruit of the womb. But he says they labor in vain that in vain that build it if the Lord doesn't build it. And so I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, if you have family members that are trying to build family houses, and they're trying to build those houses and start those families without the help of the Lord, you need to tell them that it is in vain, and no matter how hard they try, it just will not last. I wish I had a witness here. It was Peter, James, and John who were out in their fishing boats, and they were fishing, and that was their livelihood. And Jesus approached them, and he told them, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Isn't that what your Bible teaches you? He says, "I'll make you fishers of men." In other words, he said to them, he says, "I will take your physical ability and I'll turn it into a spiritual ability." And the thing I want you to know, the difference between a man who goes fishing physically and a man who goes fishing spiritually is this. The man who goes fishing physically, he catches a fish and the fish are alive. But by the time he gets home, the fish are dead. But a spiritual fisherman, he goes fishing. And when he catches his fish, they are dead. I wish I had a witness here. And by the time he gets them home, they are alive. I wish I had a witness here. Somebody doesn't understand what I'm talking about. Because you see, when spiritual fishermen go fishing, we are looking for dead fish. We are looking for men and women who are dead in their trespasses and in their sins. And they do not know God. They cannot see the things of God. And so we want to catch them and we want to share the word of God with them. And we want to build them up such as by the time they get home to their families, they will be alive and well. I wish the man in Mark chapter 5 who was demon possessed was hanging out in tombs and in the graveyard. And Jesus went over across the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. And when he got there, the man came and fell down at the feet of Jesus and asked Jesus to have mercy on him. And the Bible teaches that Jesus cast demons out of the man, and he put the demons in the pigs, and the pigs went down into the river. And you know, it affected the business over in that area. All them pork chops and all those spare ribs went down in the water and drowned. It affected their business. And so the people came and told Jesus that they wanted him to leave the area. But I want you to know, the man that Jesus healed wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus said, "No, you go home to your family and your friends and tell them what the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And I just want you to know that he was dead when Jesus found him. But I want you to know, by the time he got home to his family, he was alive and well. Give God a hand clap of praise. He was alive and well. And so all will be in vain unless God shall assist us. You see, the Bible says they labor in vain. And it means unless we are dependent on him for life, unless we are dependent on him for health, unless we are dependent on him for strength, unless we are dependent upon him for practical wisdom, and unless we are dependent upon God for the disposition to continue our work and for success in it, we will fail miserably. It will all be in vain. Let me give you an example, my brothers and sisters. I remember being out in my garage one summer when my only son, Earl, he was probably about, I guess he's about 10 years old. And I was out in the garage and I had a charcoal grill and I had the doors up and I had some barbecue chicken on the grill. I had boiled the chicken, got it nice and tender, and I had the non-stick aluminum foil, and I put the chicken on the grill, and I put the barbecue sauce on it, and it was nice and tender, and then it was all done, and it was steaming, and I got it out, and I put it in a pan, and Earl came out. He wanted to help. He said, "Let me help you, Daddy. Let me help you." And I said, "Son," I said, I don't want you to drop this chicken." And he said, "I'm not going to drop it, Daddy." And I said, "All right." I said, "Don't drop the chicken, man. Don't drop the chicken, Earl. I'm not going to drop it, Daddy." And I said, "Okay." And so he had the mittens, and he's got the barbecue chicken, and he's walking. And I had my back turned, and I'm putting hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill. And all of I heard was clang-a-lang-a-lang-a-lang-a-lang. And all that barbecue chicken was all over the garage floor. And you know, they have this thing called 5-minute rule. At times where you can scoop it up real quick and it still be good. But the only problem was the week before, my wife had put down some chemicals on the garage floor.
And so we couldn't do anything with the chicken. And so all I'm trying to get you to see is this. I labored over that hot grill. I toiled over that hot grill. I was sweating. I was coughing. And the smoke was coming in my face. And I was sneezing to get that chicken done. And after I got that chicken done, it was all over the floor. And I couldn't even taste it. And the Bible is teaching us in verse 1 that when we labor and when we toil and trying to build a family, if we do it and we work late and we work hard and we do all these things and we buy all these video games and we don't spend time with our children, and then they grow up and you'll find out that everything you did was in vain. It's what he's teaching. Now, don't respond to this question, please. Don't raise your hands and don't even laugh. But I mean, if you ever in your life used to play the lottery, you know, and or maybe if you still play the lottery, and somebody told you to play a number, but you didn't think that number was coming out. And then after you're accustomed to doing it and your adrenaline's pumping and your heart's beating fast, every night around 7:30 when it's time for the lottery number to come out and you're excited because you think you're going to win some money. And if you got a ticket, there's a chance you can win. And you got all your tickets, you got them laid out, and you're looking at the number and it's 7-4-1-2. And you're looking and you see 7-4-1 and it's 3 and like, oh. And then you're thinking, somebody told you to play that number. And you're looking and you're saying, Dad Nabbit! You're grinding your teeth and you're frowning your face and you're just as frustrated and you're scratching your head. And it's because you were told to play the number and you didn't play it. And the number came out and you didn't get a dime. I told you all, don't smile. You might be the one playing the numbers. But if that ever happened to you, that's frustrating, isn't it? It's frustrating. You played the numbers, but it was in vain. Spent all that money, and you got nothing in return. I don't know about you, but after I spent all that money in buying shoes and clothes for my children and food and paying for their health insurance, college tuition and all that stuff, I want to see them make a difference in somebody's life. And if they're not going to make a difference in somebody else's life, then guess what? It's in vain. And it's frustrating when I look back at all my receipts and how much money I've spent and they still haven't accomplished anything. It's in vain. And that's what's happening to America, saints. That's what's happening in a lot of our churches. Many parents would bring children to church until they get about 12. And then they start letting them stay home, thinking it's going to be all right. But it isn't. It's in vain. I got one more point. He gives another example. He said, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. In other words, it's just another example, but he expresses the exact same thing. He says, we basically need a universal dependence on God. And he says, and it's in vain unless you allow God to help you accomplish it. He says, if God doesn't watch over America, if we don't allow God to protect our homes, he says, even if you stay awake 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when the attack comes, he said, it'll still be too late. And nobody ought to know that better than America, because we claim to have the best defense. But in 2001, our own commercial airplanes flew into our own buildings, taking the lives of our own people. And by the time America could figure out what was happening, the damage was done. Nobody disarmed the security system. Nobody turned it off. But the Bible says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. He says, all the money that we've spent for the agencies of security in America is in vain if God is not allowed in the building. I wish somebody would play this message on Capitol Hill. Perhaps it might make sense to them. Verse 2 says, it is in vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. It says, for people who get up early in the morning, it's okay, it's not a problem. But if you get up early in the morning, and if you're still sitting up late at night, at the table eating, and you're tired, and you're frustrated, and you're worried, and you're bogged down, and at the table, though you've got plenty of food in the pantry, and the food is delicious on the tables, but if you're eating it, and there's tears coming down your eyes, and you're troubled in your spirit and in your mind because there's no faith and confidence, because when you look at all that you've done and it still isn't working. And he says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. In other words, the third point is this. God gives sleep and rest to those who eat the bread of care. What is the bread of care? Where do you see that in verse 2? When it says that you rise up early and you sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, when you're sitting at your table, you spend all those hours and there's bags under your eyes and you haven't had any rest, even though you slept for 6 hours, you got no rest, you're tossed and turned in your sleep. He says that's the bread of sorrow. But those of us who eat the bread of care, God gives sleep and rest. The bread of care is the word of God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he told the Pharisees, he said, you will only live if you eat this bread. Because they had told Jesus, they said, God gave Moses manna. What will you give us? And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In other words, he was saying to them, the manna that was given to Israel did not come from Moses, but it came from God. And that manna that you all didn't even understand what it was, pointed to Jesus as being the bread. And that without him, you would have no life. And so when you're eating this bread of life, he'll give you rest and he'll give you sleep. When you've got this word in your heart, as the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Only then will you be able to lie down with your head on the pillow and go to sleep at night. Because while your children or your grandchildren are off at college, or while they've decided to move to another state or perhaps have gone off to another country, you realize because you shared the word of God with them that his word will not return unto him void. Except the Lord build the house. Those who labor, labor in vain. Can you imagine how a builder would feel after he just finished building a traditional custom-built house, and then a storm came up, and the very next day, it was all blown down. Think about our families. There's a house that we don't want the trials and the tribulations of life to blow down. And when we think about our families as spiritual structures that we don't want this world to blow down, we'll get back to letting God assist us in building them up. And one might say, well, it's too late. My children are all grown. With God, all things are possible. If there's breath in any of our family members' bodies, it is not too late. The reason why I say that is because it wasn't until the age of 30 when all my daddy's prayers and all his investments in me came to fruition. But he allowed God to help him. So his labor wasn't in vain. Give God a hand clap of praise. My brothers and sisters, I pray that this message has been something that will encourage you to go out of here today and share with family members, co-workers, or even perhaps your enemies, or those neighbors who maybe get on your last nerve. If God gives you an opportunity, opens a door, that we need to get back to living life depending on the Lord and trusting Him. You see, when you go into your department stores, or even when you're walking down the streets, I'm being disobedient because there's a sign on this rollator that says, do not move while sitting in the seat. And here I am rolling while sitting in the seat. I'm asking God to help me build this house, and my labor might not be in vain. You ever notice when you go into the department stores, or when you walk down the streets, or even when you're driving down the highways, the thing that you see everywhere you go now is cameras. You remember years ago when you could go into department stores and there were no cameras? There was nobody sitting in the back room watching surveillance. But in America, there's so much dishonesty. People are stealing all the time. And every time people go in department stores and steal, guess what? Everything they stole, those items, what it cost, what the store lost, gets passed on to us. That's why every time you see a chicken truck turned over or you see a trailer full of little piglets, of 2,000 of them and four of them don't make it home, the next time you go to the grocery store, your pork chops have skyrocketed. Amen? So again, my brothers and sisters, except the Lord build a house. They that labor, labor in vain. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Gracious Father and our God who art in heaven, I thank you for the message, and I just thank you for your word, and I thank you for your people who still have a desire to hear your word. And I pray that this word that has been shared today has penetrated our hearts. And I pray, God, that we've all humbled ourselves in such a way that we've allowed you to speak to our minds, and that God will leave here feeling like this message was for everyone in the room. For God, truly all of us have families that need to be built up and edified and encouraged. And I pray, God, that this word will not come back to you void. And I ask if there's anyone here, Father, that you know has not accepted Christ, pray, God, that you would bring about salvation right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In his name. Amen.